Mercy Crosby held her tiny daughter's hands as little Fanny's face contorted in a scream of agony. "Doctor, are you sure you have to do this to her?" Mercy asked through her tears of anguish. "Mrs. Crosby, I know it's hard to hear little Fanny scream like this, but we must draw out the infection. These hot mustard poultices are the best way to do it." "But she's so small, only 6 weeks old. Maybe we should wait until our regular doctor returns to town." "Mrs. Crosby, as I told you, waiting would only make the infection worse. I know the treatment hurts, Fanny, but it's much better to treat the infection immediately. You never know what could happen if an eye infection is left untreated." Mercy reluctantly accepted the doctor's diagnosis. Although Fanny's screams eventually subsided, they still lingered on in Mercy's memory. The infection in Fanny's eyes went away, but her corneas had been burnt in the process, and scars began to form over them. In the weeks that followed, long after the unknown doctor had left town, John and Mercy Crosby realized that Fanny was not reacting to visual stimuli. Soon enough, their worst fears were confirmed. Young Frances Crosby was blind. Blind though she was, Fanny went on to write nearly 9,000 hymns, a dozen or so of which we still sing today. Hymns like "Blessed Assurance," "Saved by Grace," "Draw Me Nearer," "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," "To God Be the Glory," "Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross," and "I Am Thine, O Lord." In fact, Fanny Crosby was so prolific in her hymn writing that she has been called America's Hymn Queen. In fact, in her day, she had over 200 pseudonyms that she used because publishers were reluctant to publish so many hymns by any one person. Also, she was pen pals with Frances Havergal, a woman who could have easily been called Britain's hymn queen. Although the two never met, Frances Havergal and Frances Crosby exchanged letters for years. Havergal once writing a poem about her American counterpart that said this: "Sweet blind singer over the sea, tuneful and jubilant, how can it be that the songs of gladness which float so far as if they fell from the evening star are the notes of one who may never see visible music of flower and tree? Oh, her heart can see, her heart can see, and its sight is strong and swift and free." What Havergal said of Frances Crosby could equally be said about the blind man that we find in our text for this morning. His heart could see. His heart could see. And its sight was strong and swift and free. If you haven't done so already, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18 and follow along with me now as I read from verse 35 to verse 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. According to Mark's gospel, the name of the blind man here was Bartimaeus, which is helpful, both because I don't want to have to keep calling him the blind man throughout the course of this sermon, but also because his name means son of the highly prized one, and gives us a sense of where this story is going. Tell me, who is more highly prized than God alone? You see, this story is going to tell us of a blind man who became son of God. Bartimaeus' name gives us that insider's look. When Jesus says, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well," the word Jesus uses for being made well is sozo, the Greek word meaning to be saved. In other words, Jesus says, "Recover your sight, your faith has saved you." Yes, from your blindness, but from so much more as well. Your sins and the hell that they deserve. And so Bartimaeus became a true Bartimaeus, a son of the highly prized one. How? Jesus tells us. He tells us that Bartimaeus was saved by faith. Your faith has saved you. Where did Bartimaeus' faith come from? It came from a heart like Fanny Crosby's, a heart that could see, and its sight was strong and swift and free. In fact, we would do well to ask ourselves if we can see as well as Bartimaeus did. What was it that Bartimaeus saw? Well, first of all, Bartimaeus saw his need for mercy. Look again at his repeated cry in verses 38 and 39. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." According to the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, the Greek word used here means compassion, pity, or yes, mercy. It is the emotion that arises when one sees another's affliction. And the affliction that Bartimaeus faced was evident to anyone who could see. He was blind. And as such, in the economy of that day, he was poor. Blind people could not readily get jobs. There were not seeing eye dogs. There was not a Braille alphabet that he could read. This man was at a definite disadvantage, and so he was poor. He was afflicted both because he was blind and then because he was poor. Verse 35 tells us that he would sit by the roadside begging. But more even than this, his affliction ran deeper because Bartimaeus was a sinful son of Adam in need of forgiveness. As such, it's worth noting what Philip Ryken has to say about mercy. In its fullest sense, he says, "Mercy is the love of God for sinners. The grace by which he rescues us out of our lost and sorry condition." Mercy, he continues, is what David asked for when he prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." And oh, how we all need to be forgiven of our sins and transgressions. We are all pitiable people when we consider where we are spiritually. Perhaps you've heard Michael W. Smith's song that takes Bartimaeus' words here for its chorus. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. It says, Jesus, I've forgotten the words that you have spoken. Promises that burned within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart, I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief. Renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. I have built an altar where I worship things of men. I have taken journeys that have drawn me far from you. Now I am returning to your mercies ever flowing. Pardon my transgressions. Help me love you again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. As you hear those lyrics, maybe you can see afresh your own need for mercy the way that Bartimaeus saw his need for mercy. Yes, Lord, I have built altars where I have worshiped things of men. I have taken journeys that have drawn me far from you. I have forgotten the words that you've spoken to me, and promises that once burned in my heart have now grown dim. I need mercy. You see, it doesn't have to be some terribly scandalous sin that would be plastered all over the headlines of the newspapers for you to be in serious need of mercy. Bartimaeus saw his need. And so he cried out to Jesus. And if you can see your need, then the encouragement of this text for you is to do likewise. Cry out to Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus could see his need for mercy. But he could also see that Jesus, as the Son of David, was able to grant the mercy that he needed. Let me say that again. Bartimaeus could see that Jesus, as the Son of David, was able to grant the mercy that he so needed. As Tibidi Anubuile notes, Bartimaeus repeatedly calls out to Jesus using an Old Testament messianic title, Son of David. The Son of David, he says, was prophesied to be the descendant of David who would rule on David's throne forever. 2 Samuel 7. You remember the Davidic covenant and the promise that a son of David would rule on the throne forever. That was not Solomon. It was a greater king to come. In fact, we often speak of great David's greater son. And as we do so, we're talking about Jesus. This title, Son of David, really took off in the intertestamental period. In fact, if you look at the Psalms of Solomon, not the Song of Solomon, that was Old Testament, but if you look at the Psalms of Solomon, you will see that word, that title used again of the coming Messiah. And so for the blind man here, for Bartimaeus to say, Son of David, have mercy on me, he was crying out to Jesus as the Messiah. And he did so in great hope. After all, consider our call to worship for this morning and how it spoke of the fact that Messiah would bring good news to the poor. how he would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the eyes to those who are blind. It's really significant. As Larry said Wednesday night in the small group, life group setting, the Old Testament prophets who performed miracles, Elijah, Elisha, none of them ever restored sight to the blind. It was promised of Messiah, but it had not been done. And now, here is the Son of David. There's hope. And so Bartimaeus cried out, persistently pleading for mercy, and he had good reason to do so. Not only could Messiah grant the kind of mercy he was looking for, but Bartimaeus was sure he would. Isaiah 61 said that Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. What's more, Isaiah 42 said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not snuff out. He was a poor man, begging daily for bread, hanging on by a thread. Lord, will I get enough change today to eat? Ah, but Messiah. Messiah will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoldering wick. What's more, he will restore sight to the blind. And so he cries out to Jesus, expecting compassion, expecting pity, expecting mercy. And that is exactly what we see Jesus doing. As J.C. Ryle notes, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem to die and had weighty matters on his mind, but he found time to stop and to speak kindly to this poor sufferer. He asked him what he would have done to him. Lord, was the eager reply, that I might receive my sight. And at once, we are told, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has saved you. That faith perhaps was weak and mixed with much imperfection, but it had made the man cry to Jesus and go on crying in spite of rebukes. So coming with faith, our blessed Lord did not cast him out. The desire of his heart was granted, and immediately he received his sight. Passages like these, Ryle says, are intended for the special comfort of all who feel their sins and come to Christ for peace. Such persons may be sensible of much infirmity in all their approaches to the Son of God. Their faith may be very feeble. Their sins may be many and great. Their prayers very poor and stammering. Their motives far short of perfection. But after all, do they really come to Christ with their sins? Are they really willing to forsake all other trusts and commit their souls to Christ's hands? If so, they may have hope and not be afraid. The same Jesus still lives who heard the blind man's cry and granted his request. In fact, Puritan Thomas Goodwin wants us to know that the risen Lord, alive and well in heaven, is not somehow less approachable and less compassionate than he was when he walked the earth. He is still the Son of David, whose gracious disposition and tender affection, even now in glory, extends to men and women under all sorts of infirmities, either of sin or of misery. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on me. And know that as the Son of David, as the Messiah, he delights to give mercy to those who cry to him. Bartimaeus saw his need for mercy. Bartimaeus saw how Jesus, the Son of David, was able to grant the mercy that he needed. Thirdly, Bartimaeus saw what his response ought to be for receiving mercy from Jesus. Notice what we read in verse 43. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. As J.C. Ryle says, here we see a striking example of the conduct which becomes one who has received mercy from Christ. He follows Jesus, glorifying God. In other words, he engages in active discipleship. He follows Jesus, and he engages in heartfelt worship. He glorifies God. As Philip Ryken says, this is what happens whenever anyone comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. It leads him to a whole life of worship and obedience. As soon as the blind man could see Jesus, he became one of his followers. Having been saved by faith, he started to live by faith. For saving faith always leads to a life of obedience. The obedience of faith, as Romans 1 verse 5 puts it. Once the blind man was saved, he started to fulfill the purpose for which he was made, which was to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Do you do that? Is your life one of worship and obedience? Mark, in his gospel, tells us that when Bartimaeus received his sight, he immediately followed Jesus on the way. That's a very weighty phrase when you consider how much Luke in his gospel has made a big deal out of the fact that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he knows that he will be crucified and suffer greatly for the sake of lost sinners. Bartimaeus is now going to follow him on that way. Indeed, scholars say that Mark's gospel preserves Bartimaeus' name because he became a stalwart in the Jerusalem church. He followed Jesus, witnessing the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, the horror of the crucifixion, and the joy of the resurrection. Talk about getting an eyeful. Suddenly you can see, and you see it all. You see Jesus come into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, receiving the praise of Messiah. You see him offered up as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you see him rise again from the dead in victory over sin, death, and the grave. In fact, once Bartimaeus could see, he made sure that he never took his eyes off of Christ. Can that be said of you? Fanny Crosby once said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for the dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it." There's where Fanny Crosby is different from Bartimaeus. Why does she say that? Well, she says this: "I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things all about me." You know, Crosby's right. There are so many beautiful and interesting things that surround us that we can easily be distracted from active discipleship and heartfelt worship. This is why we sing as we do, that the Lord would turn our eyes upon Jesus so that we would look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. place. If we are not looking at Jesus, the things of this earth shine brightly and distract us. So if nothing else, this text is a call for you to have a singular vision, to focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. Have you seen your need for mercy? Have you seen how Jesus, as the Son of David, is able and willing to grant you the mercy that you so desperately need? If so, and if you have cried out to him and received mercy from Jesus, then make sure that you respond by following him and by glorifying God. Indeed, you might even want to echo the words of Fanny Crosby and sing, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O Lord, you have done great things, not the least of which was sending your Son to be our Savior. O Lord, fix our eyes on him, that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim, that we would glorify you the way that you deserve for having shown us mercy. And Father, for any here who are without the Savior, may they see that Jesus is the one who can rescue their souls from sin, from death, and from hell. And may they cry out today for the mercy that you alone can provide. In Jesus' name.